Linda Davis.
Thank you, Dawn. And thank you to Genevieve and Joe again for your music. Yes. Okay. So, kindness in a cruel world. Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith from the Agape Center in Los Angeles, California, says that when we turn on the television, we look at a newspaper, or we look at the social media, it seems that the world has taken a nightmare pill. Have you ever felt that? So we likely see what one researcher has referred to as the unrelenting flow of negativity. The unrelenting flow of negativity. And this continual barrage of negativity has engendered a sense of fear and helplessness among people that's causing many to see the world as a dark, dangerous, and cruel place. So as New Thought students, which is what we are, we know that there's a different way to look at this. So there are two aspects that we can look at. One is that behind any seeming condition that we might look at is a spiritual reality that is really at work here. So that's something we need to keep in mind, that the condition that we see is not the eternal truth. It's just a temporary condition. We're going to look at that in a minute. And then the second thing that we know is that it's done unto us as we believe. So if we believe that the world is a dangerous, cruel, harmful place, then that's what we're going to continue to see. So we're going to look at both of those things this morning. Humanity is at a very important juncture. We're at a very important place of choice in our world. We can't allow ourselves to be deluded by this nightmare, by this appearance of chaos in our world. It's a time for those of us who are conscious, awake, and aware to claim the truth that is superior to the condition. There's a truth superior to the condition, and that's what we are to claim. So in other words, we're called to remember and to live from the truth of wholeness, love, and peace. Each of us is called to be the change that we want to see in the world. If we wish to see more love, compassion, and kindness, then we must be that embodiment of love, compassion, and kindness. The Bible says, "Ask and it will be given. Seek and ye shall find." So principle, which is spiritual law, tells us that if we look for kindness, that's what we're going to find. If we look for cruelty, if we look for darkness, that's what we're going to find also. It's done unto us as we believe. So as we embody kindness and as we share kindness, it will grow and it will dispel the darkness. American anthropologist Margaret Mead said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." So Ernest Holmes, from his book, It's Up to You, tells us we mustn't be disturbed by the conditions that we're seeing. He reminds us to remember that the truth we're announcing is superior to the conditions that we're seeing. And from the Science of Mind textbook, ultimately we shall see that the universe rests on the shoulders of love. God is love, and all the errors that we make are the result of ignorance of our own true nature. So the happy outlook on life is always constructive. The understanding heart is always filled with sympathy and helpfulness toward all. An evolved soul judges no one, condemns no one, and realizes that we're all on the road of experience, seeking the same goal, and that each must ultimately find his home in heaven. As we've said before, we're all just walking ourselves home. We're all just walking each other home. So to realize that God is ever present, ever available, is to know that all the wisdom, intelligence, and power of the universe rest right where you are. That's why everything in your life depends upon what you believe, because it's done unto you as you believe. So when we change our beliefs, we change our world. So I'm going to give you a little reality check, because we think we know certain things, but let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's have a reality check. research shows that negative news outweighs positive news by 17 to 1. 17 times more negative news than positive news. Now, is this because the world is that bad, 17 times more bad than good? Or is it because that we are geared more to bad news? Bad news sells, you know. Well, here's a fact about the brain to keep in mind. Our brains have a survival mechanism called the reptilian aspect of the brain. The reptilian part of the brain is geared toward danger, danger. It lights up when there's danger. That's how we've survived. That's how we've gotten this far in life. Because when we were out in the jungles and the tiger was behind us, we had to be alert to every cracking twig, every rustle of the bushes, because that might be the tiger. So that reptilian brain lights up when there's the indication of danger. So that's why we're more geared to hearing the negative news than we are to hearing the positive news. Mary McNaughton Cassell is a researcher at the University of Texas in San Antonio, and she's the leading researcher that's researching the difference between media consumption and stress. And she's the one who said that unrelenting flow of negativity affects people. She said it contributes to a sense of helplessness, causing people to see the world as a darker place. And also, in this day and time, we have a different type of news coverage than we ever have before in the history of the whole world. The news is instantly available 24/7. Whatever's happening any place all over the world is instantly available on your smartphone, on your computer, on your television, on your radio, instantly. So we're always hearing about this. And by definition, this is what we have to remember, the definition of the news. News is what is extreme or different. It's out of the norm. It's out of the norm. So whatever we hear on the news is what is not the normal case of a series of events. That's what makes it newsworthy. McNaughton Cassell advises us to consciously focus ourselves on the evidence around us that the news is picking out the extreme, the bad things. That's what the news does. It picks out the bad things. You know, I think I forgot to adjust this. Let me just make sure it's down.
I did.
Oh, it's up on 78. Let's turn it down. Okay, if it adjusted, it popped back up so I can see people fanning, and I know it's getting a little warm in here. It should help in just a second, so sorry about that. Okay, Marvin spent a career in public relations, working with the news media. So when we're in group discussions regarding news, he often reminds us that what we hear is the extreme. It is out of the ordinary. He says we never want to wake up and see in the Dothan Eagle that Dothan had no muggings last night, because that would mean that muggings were the norm and that they were reporting what was out of the norm. So whenever we see something in the news, that's what's out of the norm. So this is a good thing to keep in mind, that you can shift your perspective and not think, oh, the world is dangerous and crazy, to, well, that was the only case in all of these thousands and thousands of people. That's the only case. This is good news. So here's another aspect of that reality check that I want you to do in your own mind. On a broader level, there's solid evidence. And this solid evidence was gathered very comprehensively by an author by the name of Steven Pinker. He says, he wrote a book called Better Angels of Our Nature. And he says the world is in the midst of a decade-long trend of actually becoming safer, healthier, and more humane. We just have the bad stuff shouted in our ears louder than ever before. So if we look at the evidence, we can see in the book review that the New York Times wrote about his book, they said the thesis of Better Angels is that our era right here and right now is less violent, less cruel, and more peaceful than any previous period of human existence. So people living today are less likely to meet a violent death. They're less likely to suffer from violence or cruelty at the hands of others. than people living in any previous century. So to illustrate this point, think back just a few centuries ago, it was a sport for human beings to fight to the death. That's what the gladiators did. They fought to the death in the Colosseums. This was a sport. Can you imagine that being a sport these days? See, we have evolved so much since then. It was only 150 years ago since the end of slavery in the United States. And before 1874, there was no intervention when a child was mistreated, abused, or neglected. There were laws to prevent cruelty to animals before there were laws to prevent cruelty to children. Can you imagine? Children and women were considered property. They were considered property of men. And the saying, rule of thumb, you know where that comes from? It's a man was allowed to beat his wife as long as he didn't use a stick any bigger than his thumb. That was the rule of thumb. Right. So see, we have come a very, very long way. Now, that's not to say we are there yet, but we are progressing. So keep in mind that we are making progress. The world is far less dangerous than it's ever been. We are moving toward more humane treatment of all people. Things that are catching our eye are the things that we know just aren't right. That's just not right for people to be treated that way. So that's what's catching our eye now. That's out of the norm. That's what makes the news. So when you hear about it, you can just affirm, oh, this is coming up to consciousness to be healed. This is coming up to be healed. So we can do a couple things about this barrage of news. Some people have chosen just not to listen to the news, and that's certainly an option. But if that's not an option that you choose, you can instead choose to listen to it with mindfulness, with your open mind, reminding yourself that that is what they're reporting is out of the norm, and we live in a better time than ever before. Just do a little paradigm shift in your thinking so that you're not getting all worked up about this and think and feeling fearful and helpless in the listening to what they're talking about, because our mental and our emotional states are directly affected by what we're taking in, and that affects our health and our well-being and our overall enjoyment of life. So in addition to this research on the media and the effects of us, there's also a lot of research being done on what it does to our body. Negative news affects us in terms of anxiety and sadness. It makes us feel depressed. It makes us feel low in our energy, and that's more likely to lead to health problems. And it also causes us to individually catastrophize our problems. When we think there's big problems in the world, we think our problems in our life are bigger because we feel helpless to do anything about them. So we have to counter that with ideas of what is the truth about the world, what is the truth about ourselves and our ability to solve our own problems. You know, we say, and I know we get tired of hearing it, that problems are just opportunities, they're challenges. But it's really true. If you look at your life and the challenges that you've had, you've gotten stronger, you've gotten better as a result of them. So don't let yourself feel overwhelmed by problems, but try to think of them as opportunities. Wow, I can hardly wait to see how I'm going to go through this one. And that will help you to face them with more resolve. So let's contrast that information about bad news with some research findings on kindness. Multiple studies on kindness shows that it has very tangible results. We are psychologically wired for kindness and compassion. It's our nature. Stories of kindness just abound if we look for them. I heard a story just this week about a person who was going through the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant. When they got to the cashier to pay, the cashier said, oh, that's okay, the person in front of you paid for your meal. And this person was kind of taken back for a second, and then she glanced over her shoulder, probably to make sure there wasn't a van full of football players or a tour bus behind her, and she said, well, then I'll pay for their meal too. And so she paid for their meal, and the staff inside behind the cashier all were laughing and amused and talking among themselves, and she said, what's the matter? And the cashier said, this has been going on now for 45 solid minutes. So everybody was paying for the one behind them. So it's contagious. Kindness is contagious. Now, notice for just a second that feeling that you have, that warm feeling that you have when you hear a story about kindness. That's the oxytocin that's flowing in your body. That's the serotonin that's flowing in your body. That's healthy. So whether you were the giver or receiver, and we weren't either in that story, right? We were just the observer. We still got the benefits of it. We still got to feel the benefits of hearing about that kindness. So that oxytocin and serotonin increases the feelings of well-being. It decreases the free radicals and the inflammation, and it contributes to lower blood pressure and protects our heart. So the more we share and focus on stories and acts of kindness instead of cruelty and despair and negative thinking, the better it is for our well-being. So this is just an illustration of the fact that we are all one. We felt one with those people who were in that drive-through line and experiencing the effects of finding out that someone had been kind and paid for their meal. So we identify with each other. Kindness is integral to creating a life that works for everyone. We talk here about we want to create a world that works for everyone. Kindness is the key. Kindness is the cure to what ails us in the world. People who engage in kind acts are happier over time. They experience less anxiety and less depression. Kind helpers experience what's known as a helper's high, a feeling of well-being because of having helped. When you do volunteer work, you feel that way. When you help at the mission, you feel that way. Anytime you're able to give and express kindness to someone, you get the benefits of that flow of good endorphins in your system, in your body. And the benefits are even more profound when they start earlier in life. I noticed when the King family was visiting for a while, they had three teenagers. And Teresa brought all three teenagers to the rescue mission because she wanted them to experience the benefits of helping to feed the homeless. And when our granddaughters were here, we intentionally planned our vacation, our away time, so that we could be here and they could experience being there and being beneficial because we wanted them to have that experience. Because the research shows that teenagers who are kind suffer less depression and less suicide. They're less likely to be involved in risky behaviors. They're less likely to fail in school. And they have increased self-esteem. They have greater social confidence. And they're happier and more engaged in life. So looking for opportunities to be of service. When someone gives you an opportunity to be of service to them, you can be grateful because you're going to be the recipient of these good feelings, this good energy. As conscious, creative, spiritual beings, we are continually being called to wake up and to live from this higher nature of who we are. And this is most important when circumstances make it hard to remember the truth. Ernest Holmes says, "We must not be disturbed by the contradiction of objective experiences." In other words, don't be disturbed by the conditions that you're seeing around you. We shall have to know that the truth we announce is superior to the condition which is to change. We shall have to see that God in us recognizes the God in others until the God in others recognizes the God in us. So by continually having that namaste consciousness, the God in me sees the God in you, and letting the God in them see the God in you. That's what's going to heal us. In moments when the world seems cruel, it's incumbent that we realize kindness and express the divine within so that others can see themselves reflected in us. When someone pays you a compliment, they're just seeing their own truth reflected in you. So we want to be as shiny a reflection as we can so that other people can see the truth of who they are when they look at us. So we can be a stand for compassion and kindness. We can be encouraged by the knowledge that kindness is contagious. Every act of kindness that's shared by the giver, receiver, or observer is helping us to create a world that works for everyone. Kindness spreads through social networks like a virus, but the same is true of negativity. It spreads like a virus also. It ripples out. So negativity fosters loneliness, suicide, depression, violence. Those all touch people. So we get to choose. What are we going to be carriers of? Are we going to be carriers of kindness or carriers of negativity? We get to choose what kind of viral energy we want to send out there that's contagious to other people. Energy flows where our attention goes. So what we concentrate our attention on increases. What are we concentrating our attention on? That's what's going to increase. Are we concentrating our attention on the fact that these things that we see are coming up to be healed? They're coming up into consciousness, conscious awareness, so that we can make changes? Is that what we're concentrating on? Or are we concentrating on, oh, it's awful, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket? You know, we get to choose which focus do we want to have. So it doesn't matter to the law. You know, the law is impartial. It doesn't matter what we focus our attention on. That's what's going to increase, the negativity or the positivity. So the Bible scripture tells us it's done unto us as we believe. Now, it doesn't say it's done unto us as we deserve. And it doesn't say it's done unto us as we wish it would happen. Mm-mm. It says it's done unto us as we believe. So it's up to us to look at what we're believing and to find ways to change that belief so that we're able to channel the positive view of life. So if we believe that the world is a dark and dangerous and cruel place, then we're going to continue to experience that in our lives. And our mind is going to grasp every bit of evidence that it can to convince us that that is true, whether it's objectively true or not. So remember that you are at the point of choice. You get to choose what you're going to believe, what you're going to voice, what you're going to focus on, what you're going to believe in your heart. An example of this that came to my mind was a number of years ago, I was watching a mother comfort her little child. They heard a siren whiz by, and the little child, as many of us do, looked alerted and alarmed and a little worried, and the mother said, "It's okay, sweetie. Someone's getting help. Someone's getting help." She immediately turned it around. Instead of a catastrophe, she turned the child's focus to the fact that there are helpers there. Remember Mr. Rogers? That's what he said. Anytime you're in a disaster, always look for the helpers. The helpers are always there. So Marvin and I sort of adopted that, and whenever we hear a siren now, one of us will say, "Somebody's getting help. Somebody's getting help," and it just kind of soothes our soul, soothes us so that we're not in that anxious place that stifles the healing endorphins. It lets them flow because we're focusing, somebody's getting help. So here are three things that I hope you'll take away from this message today. The first thing is be aware. Be aware of what you're focusing on, and don't fall for the conclusion that the world is a dangerous, cruel, unsafe place. Remember the statistics and remember that what you're seeing in the news is what is abnormal, what is not the norm. Remember that things are just coming up to be healed. They're coming up to consciousness so that we can do something about them. And be on the lookout for kindness all around you, because what you seek for is what you're going to find. And kindness is the cure. Kindness is the cure. The second thing I want you to think about is, maybe you're saying, "Well, I don't see kindness in the world." Well, maybe you don't yet see it. Maybe it's going to take a little bit of time. So what you can do is be the kindness. Be the kindness that you want to see in the world. You can start doing that right away. You can start being kind. It's good for your body. It's good for your mind. It's good for your spirit. We need to be the change that we want to see in the world. And the third thing that we can do is spread kindness. Spread stories, spread experiences, spread anything that you can that will help other people change their thinking and their belief. Don't just commiserate that everything's awful, because that's just adding more fuel to that fire. help to, if you can, without offending. I know people, when they're stuck in a negative place, they often don't want to hear it right away. And you might just have to interject it gently and easily. I've told you the story about my friend whose mother was always complaining, and she would try to cheer up. She'd say, "Well, Mom, look at it this way," and her mother would just get mad. And so one day she was telling her a story again about somebody, and my friend remembered, and she said, "Yeah, that bitch." You know, and that was exactly what her mother wanted to hear, that somebody heard her, somebody was in agreement with her. So spread kindness wherever you can, and look for ways that you can help change people's thinking. In keeping with this, I'm going to send you a little link in the emails for the next few weeks that have little kindness videos, just a few minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, so it'll give you something positive to focus on. So I encourage you to follow the link and enjoy it, and let it be in your body because it's good for you. Okay, so here's our affirmation. Kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. As I look for, embody, and spread kindness, I'm expressing the divinity within me and changing the world all around me. Let's read that together. Kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. As I look for, embody, and spread kindness, I am expressing the divinity within me and changing the world all around me. And so it is. Okay, so